for Emmanuel Chapel as we begin to deal with the events that are going on in our society, and we pray that God will use this in a special way to tie us together and keep us together as we go forward with the challenges that are before us in these times. Let's all have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we come before you thanking you for the opportunity we have to be connected through the technical availability that we have before us. Lord, we ask that you would indeed, in a very special way, just unite our hearts in you. We thank you that all of our comfort and grace and hope comes from you. Lord, for those names and circumstances that we've already put forward in the prayer requests, we just lift each one of them up and ask, Lord, that your perfect will and way would be done. Lord, we ask that you would just be magnified and glorified as we recognize the answer to prayer, the praises that we've received. For unspoken prayers, Lord, we ask that you would have your will and way in each life accordingly. And Lord, as we come this morning before you, we thank you that we can come into your presence and know the safety, the security, and the hope, and the comfort that comes. Father, we pray for our land. We pray for repentance and revival in our land. And we pray, Lord, that your will would be done in our lives and in our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as we go into our message, the title of the message is The Secret Place of the Most High. And I ask a question for each of us. Have you found the secret place of the Most High? As things are spiraling out of control in many, many people's lives in our nation around the world, it seems that either they do not know that place or they've forgotten where to find it. And so we're going to begin this morning on your outline with, it might be best to see who owns that most high place, the secret place of the Most High. The answer comes from Scripture in verse 1 and verse 9, the Most High. We look up in the Hebrew and we recognize that's El Elyon. And this speaks of the supremacy of God. He is supreme. He is the Most High. It speaks of His majesty. In Genesis 14:18, we find there that we hear of Melchizedek, who came and met Abraham and spoke with him. And Melchizedek was a king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God. We find in Hebrews 5 and verse 6 that Christ is declared to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. As we think in terms of the Most High God, we are so awesomely blessed to be able to know Him, to approach Him, and to be able to experience our relationship with Him in times of crisis, as well as times of blessing that come our way. Not only does that place, the secret place, belong to the Most High, it belongs to the Almighty. Often we read in Scripture, the Almighty God. That speaks of the one who is all-sufficient, perhaps is a better translation. And it speaks of his strengthening and his sustaining of his people. What a awesome thing to know that in these times, God Almighty, God Shaddai, is the one who is all-sufficient for us. He is able to allow us to be fruitful even in times when many things seem to come and confront against it. In chapter 91 of Psalm, as we follow through, in verse 2, we see the identification of the Lord. And as we see that, we see that He is called the Lord in whom I will trust. In verse 9, He is spoken of because the believer has made the Lord his place of refuge. The place, the secret place, the place that we run to when we have obvious need, which is really all the time, is the Lord. All capital letters in the King James mean Yahweh or Jehovah, the self-existent one or the eternal one. And our awesome God in heaven that we know as Lord, He is Lord of everything. He is Lord of all. and in our own lives. If he is not Lord of everything, then we are not recognizing him as Lord at all. And so we want to run and return to that place in recognition of who he is. Also, we are identified here in this passage in verse 2 about my God. And he says, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. The God that is represented there in the Hebrew is Elohim. This is God as we reflect upon a God in plural in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim. And I believe that speaks of the Trinity and the action of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all at the very moment of creation, bringing about that which is what we live and know and experience in our lives. So as we think about the secret place of the Most High, we recognize the titles that are given to God, and this is obviously not the complete listing of them, but these are the ones that I picked out of this particular verse, and it draws us to who it is that we run to. And as we think about the secret place, is that secret place known by any other names or titles? And the answer, of course, is yes. But before I move us down through those that are represented in this passage of Scripture, I was speaking with someone here recently, and as I did, they were telling about a man that they had been talking to that says, well, if things get too bad, I know a place up in the mountains where I can go, and we would have propane, we would have wood, we would have protection, and I would be safe there. Well, friends, we've got something far, far better than a cabin in the mountains somewhere. We've got a place that is called the secret place. And that place is also something else is described in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As we talk about being under the shadow, we find there are three other passages that speak about being under the shadow of God. And that is a place not of darkness, but to represent a place of great hope. Because if we're in his shadow, that means he is above us. He is overseeing. He is protecting. He is there, the one who is over us and giving us hope. And as the psalmist said, I will lift my eyes. And as we lift our eyes, we find that the one who is the shadow under whom we can run and hide and abide is always available. He's also called a pavilion. In Psalm 27:5, we find, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. When we run to the Lord, he is our pavilion. His secret place is our pavilion, a place in which we can be hidden, a place where we can be protected. Psalm 27, verse 5 says, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. If you want to look up another passage talking about this pavilion, it's described there in Psalm 18 and verse 11. He is also our hiding place. Psalm 32 verse 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Meaning stop and think about that. He is our hiding place. And these times, as things begin rushing at us, isn't it wonderful that we can run to that hiding place and know that there is wonderful time of protection now? And so I praise God for that privilege and that protection that we have. We would recognize something else, that he is our refuge. Verse 2 and 9 both speaks to him about it being our refuge. Psalm 9:9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. God is called a refuge 20 different times in Scripture. The cities of refuge are a type for us to consider in that regard. And that is such an awesome thing to know that when someone needed to flee, they could flee to that point of the city of refuge, lay hold of the horns of the altar, and know that they were there safe and protected by the Lord. It's a place of fortress. Verse 2 speaks about him being our fortress. That's used 7 different times in Scripture. In Psalm 18, verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Since high tower is mentioned there in that verse, we see that it is also used 3 different other times in Scripture. A high tower, a place where we can run and know protection. In verse 4, we're instructed about we are safe under his wings. Psalm 17, verse 8 says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." I remember hearing and reading of a story of a prairie hen out on the plain when a prairie fire rushed through. Someone came and checked later, and as they did, they found the mother hen dead. But when they picked her up, they found the baby chicks underneath, all protected and alive. We are privileged to be able to be safe under his arms. In verse 9, he is described as a place of our habitation for us to be safe and secure in. And we praise God for that. So what is provided there at that place of habitation as God has made available to us? It's a place, according to verse 1, where we may be able to hide, where we might be able to abide. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It's also in verse 2 and verse 4 is a place of hope where I can trust and find comfort. God the Holy Spirit is our place of comfort. He is the comforter. We can trust in him. It's interesting, in verse 3, it says, "Surely he shall deliver thee." Again, in verse 11, we're told, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, to deliver thee, if you please." Verse 14, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knoweth my name." Verse 15, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." He is a place of hope. He is a place of covering. According to verse 4, "He will cover me." What a blessed confidence we have, that protecting arms, hand, and love of the Lord over us. He is a place of truth. In verse 4b, it speaks there of something that I think is very important for us to lay hold of in this time of all the misinformation that comes at us. "His truth shall be my shield and buckler." His truth, not man's truth, his truth. And so we lay hold of his truth. Someone has said that fear is false evidence appearing real. We want to lay hold of facts. And as we lay hold of facts, we're thankful that we have that protection that he provides for us. Verse 5, he gives us courage. We need that in times like this. It says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." What a glorious thing to know that security, and we will cling to that in our life. We find something else. He is a protection from evil. In verse 10, it says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." That's such a precious, precious thing. Jesus prayed in John 17:15, "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil." Literally, from the evil one. He is something else for us. He is a place of promotion. In verse 14, it says there, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He will set us on high. When we recognize that we are settled in the sovereignty of God, we are lifted up to dwell in his stability and his security. The four Hebrew children were very much exposed to that security. They knew about being lifted up. They were delivered, but they were also honored. Verse 15 tells us, he shall call upon thee, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. We're told that not only does he honor us, but he honors us with long life, and he honors us with salvation. How do I get to this place? The answer of how do I get to that place is by faith. Verse 15a says, he shall call upon me. When we call upon the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ephesians 2:8-9 tell us how to get there by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We get there by choice. Verse 2 says, I will say to the Lord. Verse 9 says, because thou hast made the Lord, because of a choice that has been made. I'm reminded of Joshua 24:15, where he spoke and called the people to make a choice. And he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice that we make is a daily one. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We make a choice. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We have to exercise faith. We exercise that faith by making choices and by taking an action. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I'm reminded of a very powerful passage in Malachi 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. We are trusting in the Lord in these times. His promises are sure. By faith, we can turn to him. As we started the message, it says some have not found that place. For anyone that has not found that place is found by faith, by the choice of coming and believing what God has revealed about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9-11 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. My works says I have less than 1 minute to close. I apologize for that. We may have to upgrade to get more time.
20 minutes. That's only 20 minutes.
What happened? People got on early and used up our time.
Well, that means we're all done.